Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and this is Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, and with my co-host Frank Santopadre, and our guests this week are two of our favorite people and storytellers, returning for more laughs and more punishment. We couldn't be more pleased. Greg Bierico, a Tony-nominated actor and singer who has starred in films and hit TV shows and Broadway and off-Broadway productions. He starred in the Broadway production The Music Man, Guys and Dolls, as well as Company, Thou Shall Not, Matilda the Musical, and Little Miss Sunshine. You've also seen him on the small screen in shows like Murphy Brown, Ally McBeal, Mad About You, Boston Legal, Damages, Sex in the City, Unreal, The Good Wife, and Blue Bloods, and on the big screen in The Long Kiss Goodbye, Scary Movie 4, For Your Consideration, and The Three Stooges, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and Cinderella Man. He's also arguably the world's biggest fan of the Monkees and the only man in America to own a Richard Kind doll. Beverly D'Angelo.
Oh, God, I'm exhausted, though.
Buckle up. Here we go.
I can't go through this. Go ahead. And thank you for listening. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Beverly D'Angelo.
You're yelling.
Get closer to the mic. Get your head in it if you can.
You're a little hot on the mic, Gil.
Oh, I'll say it for the fifth time. Beverly D'Angelo is an Emmy-nominated actress and singer and raconteur known to everyone for all her work in well-respected television programs such as Frasier, Family Guy, Cougar Town, Mom, Entourage, and TV movies like Lansky and A Streetcar Named Desire, and of course, The Simpsons as country singer Lurleen Lumpkin.
Lurleen Lumpkin.
You've also seen her in dozens of motion pictures, including including Hair, Coal Miner's Daughter, Every Which Way But Loose, American History X, High Spirits, and as Ellen Griswold in 5 films in the beloved National Lampoon Vacation series. She's also a one-time Hanna-Barbera animator and the winner of the Country Music Association Award for Album of the Year and the former Miss Ponderosa Steakhouse.
Yes!
Please welcome back to the show the lovely and talented Craig Bierico and Beverly D'Angelo.
You shouldn't have added me into that.
Why does he keep adding a syllable to Bierico?
It is amazing because it's got 75 syllables as it is.
Bierico. It is Bierico.
Bierico. It's like you discovered another Bierico number between 9 and 10. Remember that, Beverly? Beverly and I came up with
this idea.
We'll circle back.
I just want to get it out there.
Let's get
the second half. It was my idea.
I don't think so, but let's get the second half of her credits out, and then we'll start.
But Craig and I decided that there needed to be a number between 6 and 7.
But it was 9 and 10.
Oh, 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And what did we name the number?
I think, well, that was your idea. But I said, what if we discovered a number between 9 and 10, like a mathematical, and we proved it. And you came up with the number quin. It was quid.
Quid.
Quint. 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 Or something quint. Like that, yeah.
Quint. Well, quint sounds it was, like five. I like quin.
It was Q-U-I-D-T. Q-U-I-D-T or something
like
that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, quid, 10.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look, here's Gilbert. He's like,
see, that reminds me. I don't know what made me think of this. Before actual cable TV, and you turn the dial of your TV, if you manage to balance it between two stations,
yes,
you'd get like some weird thing. You'd get somebody's face. Or a voice, and you go, what the hell is that?
Or a bosom. You could get a bosom.
No,
I never saw a bosom.
You were lucky.
I got what was arguably a bosom.
Okay. Who was arguing with you?
Did anybody, when they were a child, have a television set that had a remote control, which was actually a squeeze ball tube? And you could change the channels by squeezing the little tube and it would send a puff of air and it would change the channel.
I never in my childhood, most of my adulthood had, I mean, when I remember when I first got a remote control, that was like being in the future.
Right, exactly.
The ones, they were the size of like a small car and they had like the big, a big rod, like a column of metal.
Yep.
That you had to really put your elbow into and then click the channel over or it turned off.
Well, that's remember the early VCRs that had like a giant, you know, like piano keys.
Yeah.
You remember when you first got pay cable that they sent you that wired box that had two rows of buttons and a dial on the left?
Yes.
You had to do a top row of buttons and a bottom row of buttons. Does anybody remember that?
Yes. I think I do. Yep.
Cablevision, early Cablevision.
Do you remember, I think it was called a Robosize.
Yes.
And it was just like these girls in leotards, and they'd zoom in on their asses and their tits as they did a Robosize. And there was nothing, nobody saying, okay, now get in this.
Let's get the quads.
It was just like an hour of jerk-off material, basically.
So were they pretty? Were they like pretty women?
Yeah,
they were in totally
hot-looking model types in leotards, and they'd be zooming in. They'd be doing the squat thrust.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They'd zoom in on their asses and crotches and tits, and it was fun.
Do you remember, because I don't think they have it anymore, but there was Manhattan Cable. You had to go in and take like a night class.
Yeah.
Beverly, I don't know if you remember this, but Richard Sampson, who's a friend of ours, who's very funny, probably the funniest attorney at the New York Times.
What kind of an attorney is he?
Huh?
What kind of an attorney is
Praise
he?
He's
a trademark attorney. Very, very funny guy. One of the funniest people I've ever met.
Are you still in touch with him?
I don't care. No. I am. He's a great guy. He's a terrific, terrific guy. Good friend. I've known him since college. But anyway, we came up with an idea. We thought, well, because we had nothing to do, so we thought, let's do a talk show on Manhattan Cable. One of us will host it. We hadn't decided. One of us will be the Ed McMahon. And every week, Beverly would be the guest and tell the same story.
What was the story?
But we'd shoot it every week. And your response is telling us.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff is conceptual. You laugh at dinner, and then the actual reality of some guy behind the camera going, they're doing the same story.
Do you guys remember the Robin Bird show?
Yes.
That was a New York phenomenon.
That was gynecological, that show.
Yeah.
What was the Robin Bird show?
And then I remember when Al Goldstein was on, it would be like 99% commercials for massage parlors and stuff. And then he'd come on for like a second and then go back to the ads.
Now, gentlemen.
Yes.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, and usually Al usually he would interview a porn star, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, more or less.
And I found the porn stars that he chose distasteful.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were not, if you're going to go to the trouble.
Yeah.
Find someone who looks remotely like Barbara Eden from a distance.
But it would be these
pockmarked one-legged creatures who looked like they had a wing clipped off.
And then it's like he used the show for his own personal complaints. Like, you know, I was at Sid's Diner, and I waited for my roast beef, and then they brought me a corned beef, and so fuck you, Sid's
That's
Diner.
That's right, I remember that. Can you imagine him at the restaurant going, yo, I'm gonna kill you on Channel 43. I'm not gonna hold back at all.
Beverly, what's happening with your podcast? The last time we had you here was...
Oh, probably... I'm not doing it.
No, what? I heard you had 10 in the can.
Yeah,
well, I didn't. No, well, that's a different story. That was, I told you that story. So, that was between us.
So we both jumped on that one.
Yeah. As I did.
So did everybody else in Hollywood. But I want to tell you.
You can imagine I was exhausted after that, and I just couldn't go on.
This was going to be our Thanksgiving show.
Well, look, this is something to be thankful for.
Yeah, I've got a lot.
Bev, yeah. We have to thank you, too, because when Gilbert and I did the 6th anniversary show, you very sweetly sent us a video.
Yeah.
And to the shock and surprise of
I
both Gilbert and...
I got Al into it.
You got Al in there. How did you rope Al Pacino, for anybody who doesn't know which Al we're referring to? How did you...
I was at
how
his
did you
house.
Con him into...
I was at his house, and I can't remember what we were doing. I think we were watching... I think we all wanted to see Cats or something.
Cats,
oh
the
my
movie.
God,
Cats.
That I would pay money to
yeah,
see.
Yeah, I think that was it. I think
a shot of Al Pacino's face watching Cats.
Yeah, I would like to see
I
that
have
myself.
The shot.
You do?
I have the shot, yeah.
Please send it to
I
us.
I do. Hold on. It's going to take forever to find it, though.
That's okay. You can do it later after
okay.
the show.
Anyway, so, I think that was it. I can't remember, but it was some kind of a... Wait a minute. Was it January 25th?
No, it was the end of February, the 26th.
And fact, okay, Mary Lou.
Yeah, Mr. Bierko was supposed to be in that show too, but he took ill.
We're very good friends. We actually don't tell anyone. We're very good friends. We spend a lot of time.
You and Al.
I think that's really
nice. Admirable.
It is, guys. It's great. He's the greatest, and he's the person I call for advice.
What happened?
that's very Jiminy. You
well,
know what
he's
happened.
The guy. He's
you
actually
were there.
He actually said that to me once. I used to go out with Janine Garofalo. Yes, that Gene Garofalo. And we saw him once. And then he and I were performing on the same bill.
You and Al Pacino.
No. This was me and Martin. Oh, I didn't even say who the star. It's a horrible storyteller. This is Martin Short.
Martin Short. Because when you did, what happened?
That's that right. Because you had said Jiminy Glick. So
that was very Jiminy Glick.
Right after the Music Man. I did, remember Evening at the Pops? Arthur Fiedler with Evening at the Pops?
Yeah, that's...
I went up to Boston to do Evening at the Pops.
Yeah, that video of you was on YouTube.
Yes. And right after me was Martin Short during his act. And the only other time I had met him at that point was with Janine. And so we were going up in the elevator after the shows. And I said, good show. He said, good show. I said, you know, Janine and I broke up. And he went... What happened?
Shit.
I thought that was real. He was just being funny. He's the funniest guy. He's the funniest
He's
guy in the world, not counting
man.
Everybody here.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Gilbert, you'll like this. Matthew Allen, one of our listeners, Bev, wants to know, what do you remember about grabbing Chevy Chase's dick in Christmas Vacation?
Actually... That was a group shot. It was at the end of the day, a group shot. That was a group shot. It was at the end of the day. And I remember the director was very uptight. Come on, people, because he had to, it was like wrangling cats, you know, to get everybody in that shot. And they did it once and it didn't, they had to shoot it again. There was some problem because it was actually a tough shot just on a technical level and there was movement until we froze. And I said to Chevy, I bet you, because also the director could have cared less that I was even in it. And I said to Chevy, I bet Jeremiah isn't even going to catch this. And he goes, wait, I guess I'm this. So action, stop. And I arranged that my hand would be there. And he goes, okay, fine, wrap. Yeah, we're done for the day. Great. Cut. Da, da, da. And I don't know whether he found it in the editing room or what, but it was purposeful. And I never thought it would be in, actually. I just thought they don't have any choice. They only have one take, and they direct the one before.
Nice move.
You had Chevy Chase was so great on your show.
On our podcast, yeah.
I didn't hear that one. When did you do him? When did you do him?
Chevy here?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll send it to you. Probably second year, 2015.
Wow, I love that.
I can't speak for you, but for a white guy in the suburbs who grew up in the 70s and 80s, I honestly don't think any of us would have the same personality if it wasn't for Chevy Chase. I don't think it would be something slightly different. No, Chevy Chase was, I can, you know, Dr. Rosen.
And Bill Murray, too.
And Bill Murray, too. Yeah, there's a whole crew. There are about three or four guys that if they didn't exist, I think I would just be an empty Pringles
Maybe
can.
Steve Martin could be in
Steve
that company.
Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Andy Kaufman, Gilbert Gottfried.
Got to put Gilbert in there.
Get Gilbert in there. But yeah, Chevy had that persona, you know, of the kind of, you know, little fancy, suburban, smart guy, you know.
It was all new to me. I hadn't seen any of it. I didn't think anybody had.
I mean, there's that theory that artists just, that there's a certain amount of territory and people move in and out of that territory, you know, but I don't know, you know, it's like the next Brando, the next this, the next that. But so who was Chevy before Chevy was Chevy? Would that have been George Carlin before he became a hippie?
Well, they're performers. Different. I have to say, do you guys feel the same way about like Bob Hope? I remember seeing Bob Hope for the first time.
I never got him.
But, well, Bob Hope in the movies, which was basically Woody Allen. Woody Allen admits it. And also, when I was a kid, it was strange. It was a weird time, but I remember Bob Hope in 1974 sitting behind a desk and resigning from show business. I couldn't tell Richard Nixon and Bob Hope apart. They looked like the same guy. I was like, I like the funny shows with the sketches. I don't like when he just sits and talks in the camera.
Gilbert,
those monologues are dark.
Do we have to send Beverly the Bob Hope, Jack Frost video, Gilbert?
Oh, that's unbelievable.
It is beyond.
It's unbelievable.
You think, yeah, it's like what Craig went through on those drugs.
Oh,
doesn't
really.
Seroquel.
It doesn't match up to Bob Hope in this thing.
I can't wait to see it.
It's basically a jaw connected to nerves on a spine, and it's just the wattage is going.
It's like I seriously think this was Dolores' revenge because of all the times he fucked around on her.
Oh.
And this is like, she's like, he's a corpse.
Really? I can't wait to see it.
He's a corpse, and it's not bad enough that he's a corpse that they're filming, but they glue a little beard to him and a pointed hat.
No.
Oh, it's scary.
I've got to see that. Got to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beyond scary.
By the way, because it's the law, Beverly, you've seen older Groucho as performed by. Hey, why did you do that television special with the brothers? It seemed like you guys were a little tired, Groucho. Why did you do it?
Because Chico needs the money.
This is all virgin material for Beverly.
I love it.
You were on William Buckley's show. That was interesting, but it didn't seem to be your element. Why did you do that?
Because Chico needed the money.
And I heard a rumor. Were you bathing Chinese people? Were you bathing entire Chinese families at some point? Why would you do that?
Because Chico.
I've lived a dream now. I've lived a dream.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The part of Drew Friedman will be Craig Bierko.
I was Sammy Petrillo's partner.
Mitchell.
I'm the Dookie Mitchell, Drew Friedman.
Craig, I got a question for you from a listener.
Okay.
From Dr. Eric Z., MD, Medical Deviant. which is an homage.
That's from Dr.
That's an homage.
Yes. He must be a really good doctor with a name like that.
Can Craig talk a little bit about his experience filming the immortal classic, The Day My Kid Went Punk? I'd love to hear what it was like. It also starred podcast guest Bernie Coppell.
Wait a minute. You did not make a movie called The Day My Kid Went Punk, did you?
Listen, I needed the money.
Because Chico needed the money.
Listen, Chico needed the money. We were all, until the last. Do you remember the after school specials?
Yeah,
sure.
Well, they burned through the important subjects like kids on angel dust, I think my kid might be a homosexual. They'd have stuff like that. He's prejudiced, my son. They'd have whatever the issue was. Well, they ran a little dry after about 15 years. And also, the people who wrote them, very, very nice, but a little out of touch. So it would have been around 1989. And I think my son's into punk music. The Day My Kid Went Punk, Jay Underwood. Great, sweet actor, good.
Boy,
very all-American looking, really
terrific. Of course,
terrific.
Frank knows exactly who that is. I don't.
I think I'd been in Hollywood for like 11 seconds. I went and I met, and it was like meeting like my parents' friends. They were just nice people. You went to their house, they were nice people. And they said, well, yeah, you were great. Would you like to do this? And I was like, Bernie Coppell will be my father. Bernie Coppell had me and Jay Underwood. It didn't make any sense. But I got to spend a couple of days with Bernie Coppell, and I was remarkably restrained because all I wanted to do was just go, schmott, schmott. of course. I mean, and he was really funny on your show.
You're a kid.
And
when he
called Gavin, Gavin was incredibly.
That was fun. Yeah.
Although the one thing I wanted to ask that is, and it just occurred to me recently, was he played a character on a show called
He played Big Chicken.
What?
On Hollywood on
Hawaii 5-0.
Hawaii 5-0. He was this evil drug pusher named Big Chicken.
He played mostly heavies didn't he play a lot of heavies?
Until the Mary Tyler Moore show.
And so to get him away from the heavies, they hire him as a comedy writer, and his name is Murray Slaughter.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Slaughter. what was that? And the only thing I could think of was Murray's laughter. Is it that? Maybe it's that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Murray is laughter.
But comedians kill.
But
if you're good, you kill.
Yeah, that's true. Still it's like, hi, this is Avery Dismemberment. Slaughter was such a strange, and it never occurred to me.
There's that guy, George Schlatter. George Schlatter.
Yes, we had him on, too.
Who are you guys? Can I ask you a question? Basically it was that. I had a great time, and I remember the woman who owned the house. We were shooting a dinner scene. Now, of course, you start, you hope you're doing the right thing. Here's a guy who's been on a million TV shows. I'm quietly trying to not be, think of him as a hero, but actually do the scene with him. And the woman who owned the house was sitting in the living room, and she came up to me, and she goes, you're very good at acting.
Aww.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, at acting. I thought it was like, very
that's
nice.
Very sweet.
It was very nice.
There was a TV movie I saw, either Lifetime or Hallmark, and I swear to you, it was about porn addiction.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. Some teenager gets addicted to porn.
It's like an after-school special.
Yes.
Thematically.
I have a question for the group then.
Sid Croft is calling me. Do you want him on?
Hold on a second.
We had him.
Yes.
We love him.
Thanks for stabbing my story in the tit.
Hey, wait, hold on. Sorry, go ahead. Sid?
I do know how many times I called you and your fucking phone is full.
I don't ever pick up messages. You have to text me.
Yeah.
I know Sid Croft.
You weren't even down. I never saw your car when I walked.
I went to Malibu.
I worked out with him at Eastman Gym.
Yeah. And I called you. But it's okay. I'm a week late to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, right. That's okay.
It sounds great.
Listen, guess what you've just been on?
What?
The Amazing Colossal, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast with Frank Santopadre. And it's the best podcast there is. And I'm doing a Zoom right now.
And he won't remember my name, but I used to.
Hi, Sid.
Sid, I'm some guy, and I used to work. I'm some guy, and I used to work out with you at Eastman's gym all the time. You were very nice, and you would talk to us all the time.
Oh, he hung up.
Give Sid our love.
That's Hollywood. Okay, that's Hollywood, my friend. That's fucking Hollywood. Fuck him.
No.
Who the fuck does he think he is? I'm giving it up, and he fucking treats. What a cock. What a cock.
It's terrible. I interrupted you, and then he hung up.
Well, he should get a disease.
That's my that's Sid. He's my neighbor.
He did this show, too, Beverly.
Oh, I love it.
With Marty.
Oh.
They were like the Sunshine Boys.
The real Sunshine Boys.
Exactly, but they have such a thing between. Oh, Sid.
Is he calling?
Turn that off.
You hung up. Wait, you did this show, Sid.
Hi, Sid.
You did it.
Hi. Gilbert
and Frank are saying hi to you.
Oh, right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi,
no
Sid.
Way.
We love you.
Yes, Way.
Well, how do they're saying hi to me, but how do we do that?
I'm holding the phone up, and you're on speakerphone on my landline, and I'm on a Zoom call, and also Craig Bierko, who's a genius actor, said that he worked with you.
No, I didn't work with you.
Yeah.
No, 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 no. I didn't work with you, so don't say
no,
of course.
That was fabulous what we did.
No, 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 no.
He knows. You're kidding.
Do you remember you used to work out every day at Eastman's gym?
Kidding about what?
No. You mean the podcast was fabulous.
Yeah.
What I was just saying is that Craig Bierko, hold for it. Craig used to work out at Easton's gym when he was in Los Angeles.
Wow, what a trip.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Of all the experiences you've had, was that mind-blowing?
Okay, I don't know what you just said. I love you so much. Wait, hold on.
And when you were on the podcast, you and your brother built the largest escalator. Do you remember that?
She can't hear you, Gil.
Do you remember building an escalator with Marty? You did the show with Marty.
Of course. It was over an hour.
That's right.
I know.
That's right.
Okay. I love you. I love you so much.
God bless you, Sid.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
I'll call you in a little bit. Bye.
I want if someone's going to take this idea away, but I would love to know what HR Puff and Stuff is doing now. In COVID, like
exactly.
In this, where
what's
he
doing under lockdown?
He's probably a Trumper.
I've got news that just came in, and it's not from Steve Forrest, but it's somebody.
Okay, shoot.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Donald Jr. has COVID.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Nice sentiment.
Beverly, I got a question for you. We meant to ask you this last time. Tell us a little bit about working with the orangutan in the Clint Eastwood movie, In Every Which Way But Loose.
Oh, well.
Because we love to ask people about working with simians.
Well, I'll tell you.
Well, are you familiar, Beverly,
with
that? According to legend, old Hollywood rich women used to train chimpanzees to go down hunting.
Really?
Yes.
That's what they say.
Yes, they used to. These were cunnilingus chimps.
Wow.
I think somebody's getting a birthday present.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Knuckles is on the way.
Mr. Knuckles.
Yes, I heard he was trained by Stockard Channing, and I really can't wait. Okay, this is a true story. So we shot Every Which Way But Loose on location. And the way that Clint, this was, you know, it was 1976, and Clint wasn't the Clint Eastwood that he came to be. I even thought, like, what am I doing a movie with the Rawhide guy with? Because I'd just done Hair, blah, blah, blah. But Milos Forman said, do it. But he worked in a really cool way. And that I never met him until I was on set in the shot. Just like he saw something, this little Paramount movie I made. He shot two angles, up, down, kind of basically. And then we'd go out to lunch or dinner. after it was wrapped. Every day was done by 5 or 6, and everybody that he worked with was his friends. So we'd go out to dinner. Anyway, and we rarely had night shoots, but we had a night shoot one night, and it was a big scene where Clint wins a fight, and the orangutan goes scrambling to the top of this big pile of bricks and makes the victory sign. So the Barasini brothers, who were training the what was the orangutan's name in the movie?
I think Clyde.
Clyde. Clyde's real name was Manos. They were Czechoslovakian. And so we come time for the big money shot. And remember, Clint's like, set it up, shoot it, and let's go out to dinner. So anyway, 3 times this orangutan gets the cue. He goes up to the top, but he just kind of stands there, or he kind of messes around. He won't get it right. And time is burning. So the trainer said, just a minute. He takes him away, and he's gone. It's like, Jesus, what's happening? Comes back 20 minutes later. Manos has, like, straw, and he's kind of going like that. And it's like, where did they go? And it's time. There's the shot. He gives the winning punch. And then Clyde scrambles up to the top of the – we're ready for that shot where he's going to scramble up. But what he did was, when he's given the cue, vi, vi, he goes like this. I don't know if you can see it.
Covering
can't
his
see it on the radio.
Covering his crotch? Were you covering your crotch?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he'd basically taken him back somewhere and just kicked him right in the balls like forever to get him to do that stunt.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's a story we can't use.
And we got for Thanksgiving. But you asked me.
my God.
I'm sorry.
In his orangacock.
No, it is just, do I strike you as a filthy-minded person? I'm not. I'm really not.
No, erotica.
Griswold.
It's more erotica.
But here's the
anal erotica.
But that was just the one. I have, there are 14 of those. Then there's a diary. You know what? Forget that. I don't even know what I'm going to, that'll probably end up in the podcast file. I have all these things that I never do. Okay, but anyway, I wish I could think of a sweet, gentle story about the orangutan.
Sounds like
if I would have known you were going to ask me, I have a photograph of me and the orangutan and Clint and Jeffrey.
That's sweet.
But yeah, but I don't. It's way downstairs, way over there.
Gilbert,
I know Richard Kind.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll show you the doll. I'll get the doll.
Get the Richard Kind doll. People can't see this, unfortunately, since it's not video.
I don't know where it is.
Oh.
Our fans would love to hear a little Richard, I'm sure.
Everybody loves to hear a little Richard. You know who was a wonderful musician was Little Richard. And he was very upset because he was at the next table at Le Rémy when somebody said, Richard, do a little bit of Richard. And I tried to imitate myself. He got very upset and sued.
I don't know. That's a horrible. I was stuck in a horrible routine. I had known him for, I think I may have told you this story, but it's not like you can only tell a story once on this show.
Certainly not.
But I had known him for about 15 years, and we were sitting. We used to go to lunch all the time, and he said, hey, Craig. And I said, wait a minute. Did you just call me Craig? Yes. What are you doing? It's Greg.
Oh.
No. No. And I said, Richard, you want to see my driver's license? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I had him going. Could you imagine? They were going to make a film about people with, because everybody's got a Richard Kind story. To know him for 5 minutes is to have a Richard Kind story. Do you know about this?
No, there was a documentary in the works about
it was going to be like, it was going to be like The Aristocrats. It was that, had just come out.
I remember, it's happened more than once, like where I'm known for going into like voiceover sessions and other things and throwing like all the candy bars and bags of peanuts and soda cans in my bag. Oh. Someone sort of saw me do that, and I said, oh, yeah, I steal stuff from, and he goes, no, you're not the worst.
Oh,
and,
no.
And I said, who's the worst? And he goes, Richard Kind. he says, you're strictly in the amateur leagues when it comes Stu Richard Guyton.
I got every last Twizzler.
We love
they
Richard.
Hide them.
We love Richard.
Yeah,
he's
I love
been
Richard.
Good to this show.
I love Richard. Richard, he's a funny, funny man. Oh, my God.
Now, Gilbert, since Beverly is interested in erotica and writes erotica and is something of an expert on the subject of sex, I think we should run the Cesar Romero story by her and get her impression.
Great.
Okay. You do an impression of Cesar Romero? Yeah.
The orange is leaving.
Okay.
I'd like to know what she thinks of this.
Okay. Cesar Romero. Well, like, you know, in his day, he was like the Latin lover.
Okay.
And all the women were, but he was gay in real life.
He was?
Yeah.
Cesar Romero was gay?
Yes, he was.
No.
Did you ever watch
Supposedly.
The Joker? When he's like, oh, Batman.
Okay.
With the mustache.
Right, the mustache. Right, okay.
So Cesar Romero, what he was into was gathering up these young boy toys, and he'd take off his pants and underwear and bend over, and they would fling orange wedges at his ass.
No way. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And then what?
That was it. And there are some people who claim that he, and this I don't understand.
But was it always oranges?
Oranges, yeah. Orange wedges.
It had to be with the skin on it?
Some people argue that it was tangerines. That's the only argument.
Wow.
And somebody said, and I don't understand this at all, that he would stand ankle deep in warm water.
Okay.
Oh, and one sad thing that happened recently on a former podcast guest, the co-star of Lon Chaney Jr. and Bela Lugosi in Ghost of Frankenstein, the little girl Janet Ann Gallo.
Who gave Frankenstein the flower?
That was Boris Karloff in the original. This was in Ghost of Frankenstein.
Oh.
Where the little boys are bullying her.
Uh-huh.
And they take a ball away from her and throw it, and it gets stuck to the roof. And Frankenstein scares the little boys off, and he climbs up with her in his arms.
Aw.
And they get, yeah. So she passed away recently.
Yeah, we had her on the podcast, and she passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And she was a terrific guest.
Janet Ann Gallo.
It's very moving how you have such regard for that whole genre.
We do.
I mean, because I remember, I think it's had many titles. I was trying to put it together because I went to see it for my brother's birthday, like way, way back. And I want to say it was like Frankenstein versus the Martians or something, but it was like, it was Asian, and he was walking through the city and he was giant. It was crazy.
I don't know that one.
There was a movie, I think it was it Frankenstein versus the Martians?
Yeah.
That had our friend James Caron in.
You mean Frankenstein meets the space monster?
Yes.
That's the one.
He played some professor.
It was when he turned into Frankenstein, he was Asian and he was giant.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
I like
I've got to find that. I've been looking all
gotta
over for that.
I'll find it for you. Frank will find it.
I know the play did very well.
And the novel.
Circle in the Square. That's where I saw it. Beverly, should we tell the story of why you wound up sending me a lovely plaque in the mail?
I don't see the plaque in your bedroom.
It's in the hallway.
I gave Frank an award after we did the podcast. And Frank, why don't you tell the story?
Well, you were trying to remember. I heard you on with Ileana Douglas.
Oh, there was one of those genre of movies where they have people from space and monsters and everybody's getting chased. And I remembered I was obsessed with this. I used to watch Chiller Theater. I was obsessed with this movie when I was a kid. I even made posters for it. And it was all I could remember is that there was this guy who wore a colander on his head with vegetables hanging all off of him. And he was chasing an astronaut. And he kept going into the same cave, but you're supposed to believe it's not really the same cave. Anyway, Frank said he'd seen it, and he started sending me the info. So, Frank, take it from here.
Well, you had said you spent your whole life trying to figure out the name
of
the movie.
I did.
Yeah, yeah. It's called They Came. Gilbert knows it. It's called They Came from Beyond Space.
Yes.
Gilbert, 1967. And it was so low budget that they put colanders on their heads.
Yeah. And it was so low budget that in the big chase scene, you'd see the characters go this way across the open cave, and then it would cut to like a tree, and then you'd see them go that way. So you thought that they were running through something instead of going back and forth. Did you follow me?
Yeah. Yeah, but we finally solved it, and so I went to the mail one day, and there was a plaque from Beverly, which...
It was an award.
It was an award.
It was an award plaque.
One of my prized possessions.
And what did you win the award for? I remember you were... There was a designation. It was
incredible movie knowledge or
outstanding movie knowledge, best movie knowledge in the world.
I have to go pull it off the wall.
I have one. I'm going to ask you about it afterwards because I have so little information that it's of no interest whatsoever, but I've been looking for years for this thing.
And seriously?
I'll never find it. I remember going, I have perfect movie. I remember where I saw movies and with whom.
Wow.
That's my gift.
That's impressive.
So I went to the Rye Ridge Cinema with my brother to see a movie about, it was two kids who could time travel, but it was kind of, I remember one of the kids was blonde. This would have been like 1970. And that's all I remember is they went back in time. I don't remember what happened. And I've tried every variation of.
Our listeners will come up with it.
I know it was real.
But that's not even interesting.
I want to do more shows with you, Beverly. Let's do more shows.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Gregory Ward, one of our listeners, says, I don't have any questions, but I want to say that Mr. Bierko is easily in the top three greatest podcast guests of all time.
Oh,
and I love his dog, nice. Boo.
Boo!
Oh,
where's Boo?
Oh, Boo's sitting right here. Boo. Well, Boo says
we love Boo. As it is, thanks.
I'll post a picture of Boo on your Facebook page. How's that? That'll
clean this act up considerably. Yeah. As it is Thanksgiving, and I asked you this on the phone, Bev, and I'll ask Craig the same question.
Oh.
One person, and it doesn't even have to be somebody you necessarily worked with, one person, one artist, one filmmaker, one actor.
In the showbiz world.
Yeah, in the showbiz world, who you are thankful for.
Miloš Forman.
Miloš.
Yeah.
Because?
Because of everything.
Because of everything.
Yeah.
You are a raconteur.
Who is? I'm not at all.
That's all you're coming up with? Come up with more than just because of everything.
Oh, that
You have to
part.
Say more than just everything.
I'm a terrible guest today. I'm sorry.
I really not. Feel terrible. I'm just giving you shit.
I feel terrible.
I'm giving you
okay,
shit.
Okay, because I had come to New York from Canada with a ill-fated musical version of Hamlet. I played Ophelia. It closed right away. It's on the bomb wall, Craig, and Joe Allen's. Or, anyway, all singing, all dancing, Gower Champion flop. So I'm broke. I'm in New York, and the word out for all the little Broadway babies was that Miloš Forman that was going to make a film of Hair, and they were looking for people who were too young to have been in it the first time around, and preferably who'd never seen it. So I went down to a cattle call. I sang Desperado, written by Don Henley, which really stood out because it was great Broadway song. And everybody who auditions for, you know, on Broadway, all these Broadway babies go, you know, gotta dance. So anyway, I got called back to meet with Twyla Tharp, and Twyla said, walk across the room and then walk back. So I walked across the room. She goes, hold on. When you walk back, walk exactly the same way that you did when you walked across the room in the first place. So I did, and I remembered I'd rubbed my hand to my hair. And I said, is that my dance audition? And she said, I believe that dance is anything that can be repeated. Any movement that can be repeated is dance. Then I went in and I sang for Miloš, and I finished my song. It was the big song from Rockabye Hamlet, because as Ophelia, I strangled myself with a microphone cord and died on stage. It's very dramatic. I sang the song. And he took his glasses off, and he said, you know, come here. And I went to the little desk, And he said, "That's you." And I said, "No." And we went out for dinner, and I fell in love that night. I really did. And which was very problematic, because instead of just being able to audition for the film, I had to audition 14 times because everybody knew that he just loved me to bits. And it was so bad that I went out to dinner with a friend one night, and he said, "I'm going to France tomorrow." And I went to France because the thing that he had said to me was, I said, "I can't keep, I mean, I've auditioned for everybody I've ever met now." And he said, "No, you have to prove it. You have to prove it." I said, "Who am I proving myself to?" And he said, "You have to decide if you want to be a good girlfriend or a good actress." And so I just took off instead. That's a whole other story. There are drug dealers involved, but it only took a week. I'm in London. It's 7777. And we were celebrating, and I called him up and said, "It's 7777. You know, just saying. He goes, "Angelique, where are you?" I said, "I'm in London." And he said, "What are you doing there? I've arranged for a screen test now. You know, you're going to get a screen test, a proper screen." So I go, "Okay," because you've got to come back. And I said, "For what? Why? As what? As a girlfriend or an actress?" And he said, "Just come back. We'll decide later." So I came back. I did the screen test, and I got the role. And very quickly, this kind of love affair that we had just kind of decimated. You know what I mean? It was like, now we've got to make this movie. But I was in love with him, and I thought, you know, this man is so possessed with this film that the only way that I can even be with him or even show my love is to give him what he needs, because what he needs is an actress. Needs an actress to star in that movie. And we remained friends till the very, very end. And I really loved him, but he took my hand and walked me into filmmaking. Wow. I'd done one movie before then. I'd done The Sentinel, and then a little movie called First Love. But I thought I wanted to be a singer. I didn't get the movie thing. I lived on communes. I didn't even watch television when I was growing up.
So you feel you owe your acting career to him?
100%.
Wow. Well, that's beautiful.
And therefore, I wouldn't burden him with like a kind of not such a hotshot career, but I also met my first husband through him, the Italian, and he gave me a life. Before I met Ronnie, I was singing in a bar with Ronnie. Before I met Milos, I was singing in a bar with Ronnie Hawkins. Then I was in a bomb on Broadway. I could have gone way, way, way down another road. But he brought me into this world of imagination and a life. Because it's not like I've had a career, I've had a life. And the movies have come in and out for all kinds of different reasons. I've never gone, "I've got to do this film so that therefore I can win an Oscar." I never even thought like that. But Milos introduced me to, he was the first director I met. He was in that way, art.
Good answer.
Art cherry, busted the art cherry.
You're thankful for Milos. Craig, same question.
See what you did, Craig? I talked so much that...
Great filmmaker, by the way. A great filmmeker, by the way. I'm glad he meant so much to you.
And I didn't know how funny he was, too. He's a very funny guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, the funny guys on Saturday Night Live were based on him and his friend Mirek. Remember the wild and weird just...
Oh, the wild and crazy guys. Yeah. I know that.
It's based
That's
on,
good trivia.
Yeah, that was...
I'll do a funny one, and then I'll jeté back, and then I'll do a serious one. But the funny one is that this was actually said. My favorite person I'm most grateful for is the audience. Because, you know, in the words of Engelbert Humperdinck, and this is true, a friend of mine went to see Engelbert Humperdinck in concert, and he said, you know, applause is the food of the artisan, and I want to thank all of you for never letting me starve.
Wow.
What a weird way to say
that.
What
a wonderful Thanksgiving. Wow. That's my Thanksgiving.
And it's important to remember, I've been told by a few people, Engelbert Humperdinck is a Jew hater.
Don't.
Yeah. Major Jew hater.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, my God.
You just made it even more of a Thanksgiving story.
And on that note.
And then the real one, they're the obvious ones I could say.
The real one is Hitler.
Okay, good. No. Although Carrie gave me a Hitler doll for my birthday.
True.
Hitler and Goering. Okay. She also used to hide. I'd come the notes. Stayed in her guest house, she would hide. She'd hide pornography of big, fat black women. She'd short sheet my bed and hide it in the bed, and hide that in the bed.
That's hilarious.
So Carrie, I was grateful for because she actually, she was somebody who she wrote. She read something that I wrote. She said, "You're a writer."
Aww.
So she gave me that gift. Beverly, I feel the same way about. You know, the 3 o'clock calls, the 3 a.m. calls.
Don't tell.
And then, if I may, gentlemen, if I may. I had a really, when you guys first started the show, I happened to have had, I was coming out of a really bad year, not even worth going into, but a bad year. And I had to go, it ended up, I put on a lot of weight and I had to go down to Florida. I had to take some weight off because I was doing a show and I wanted to come back and look. And while I was down there and I was truly miserable, you guys had done, I think like only 3 episodes. I think you had Tom Leopold. Right.
Well,
and
then he maybe he was in the first, maybe 15. We had done.
Oh, then it was more. Yeah. But I listened. I was like, you know how like if you're down and there's like no pleasure in anything. It took me a couple weeks. I had to eat well and lose a little weight. And then it started slowly coming back. But during that 2 week period, I listened to the show constantly. I had it on like you would listen to music.
Very sweet.
And it got me through.
Thank you, pal.
And then to actually be a part of the family, which is the way it feels. I love that. I really appreciate, don't take for granted the fact that you would think to have me back.
Of course.
And I love the show.
We're thanking Gilbert and Frank for Thanksgiving.
Well, I did.
Well, yeah. I appreciate
it. I want to read you on mine.
Gilbert has no soul. But
can I do it?
No. And you know, no, that's not true. That's not true. I remember I used to live closer than I do now to Gilbert. And I remember I would see him on the street and he was always great. Do you remember? I don't know if you remember Gilbert. We took a couple of walks around the block and it was real. They're nice memories for
that's
me.
That's nice.
Because it was just two guys having a nice conversation, and I cherish the memory.
We appreciate it.
And I love getting to know you guys. You have known a little bit longer.
Okay, but I just want Craig to tell one story that's hilarious. Please tell the story about the Unreal, when you were doing the Real Show or the Unreal Show or whatever it was.
What was
and
it?
You were watching the monitor, and you said, I ought to lose some weight. And then and they said, nah, lose more. And you went to a place. But the name of the place was changed.
No. It was Sherry Appleby, who I've known for Sherry. Well, I was watching myself on the monitor, and I thought, I put on a little weight. But you know, it's dysmorphia. You can't really tell. But it went the opposite way. So I'm sitting next to Sherry Appleby, who I've known a long time. She was the star of this show, along with Constance Zimmer. I love her, and she's incredibly frank. Don't ever ask her a question if you don't want to know exactly what she thinks. So I'm looking at the monitor, and I went, I put on a little weight. I need to take a little weight off. And she went, yes. I said, what would you say? Like, what would you say? She said, 50. I went, 15 pounds. She went, 50. So I went down to a place. I found a place, and it was called Fitness Ridge. And I figured, great, with the fatigues, push-ups, I'll send pictures to friends. I get down there, and they changed it from Fitness Ridge. It had been bought, and it was now owned by The Biggest Loser. And I got there, and the people who were there, I was 50 pounds heavier than I needed to lose weight.
But you look great, by the way.
Thank you. There were people there who, they were balls.
They were what?
They were just balls. They were balls. Oh. They were complete
round balls.
Little spherical. Hands. Yeah. And I watched a couple of them really, really take it all off. It was amazing. And that was an amazing experience. But while I was there, unhappy times, getting back to it, I don't know how I would have gotten through the first couple of weeks. I listened to the Tom Leopold one like 11 times.
Funny.
It was like, it became, you know, like some comedy becomes like jazz. You know it already, but it's like musical. It doesn't matter.
Well, here we are 330 episodes later, Craig.
Is this 330?
Somewhere in there.
Can we do it over again? I feel terrible and filthy.
I have another question, and I want to enjoy how filthy she feels. So let's keep that suspended in the air for just a moment before we
clean up.
I want to ask Gilbert a question because I still can't believe I haven't seen you live.
I have. He's great.
You've seen me live?
I saw the roast of Chevy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right. Well, no. But I mean live in an audience, like a whole show, which everybody said, like, no, that's what you've got to see. So I could, and I was doing a play, and the play closed two nights later, the COVID thing. Everything was closed, all show business shut down. And so that, A, that's upsetting because I want to see it. I want all my actor friends to get back on stage, myself included. But what is this like for you? Because you're a creature of the stage, aren't you? Aren't you?
It's weird. Well, it's weird for everybody, but now it seems like it's been going on so long. I'll have thoughts. I'll go, how was I getting on planes all that time? and do I remember my act? I'm like thinking, I'll think of a line. I go, how did I lean into that line? And how did I, all of it seems so crazy. Getting to the airport, switching planes.
Yeah, yeah. And doesn't it seem weird that, like, what you do, because I was watching the Chappelle thing, and I thought, to look out into an audience and not be able to see the part of the face that registers, but would you do something like that? He did an outdoor performance. Would you consider that?
Yeah, I don't know, but I just recently, I was going to be working a theater, and I think they said, like, the audience didn't have to wear masks, which is, and so I postponed that theater run.
How would they do
every
it?
Every other seat or something?
I don't know. It's
plexiglass boxes.
And that's another thing. It used to be like, that energy of a group of people squeezed together. Yeah. And now it's going to be like one person over here and 10 feet away is another person.
You know what? If it's only going to be one person, go to India.
Full circle.
I'm considered the next Charlie Chaplin.
Also.
In India.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
He's huge. Here's the plaque, Beth. Yeah. The deep.
The deep dive award.
Award, and it carries the man with the colander on his head.
I want to thank you for something too. I love Craig Bierko. I never imagined that I'd get to spend this much time.
We do love him.
With you, not actually being in your apartment, because every time we text or we talk on the phone, it's never enough. And I love you very much, Gilbert. You're my hero.
How sweet.
Bierko.
How do you feel about Craig Bierko?
It's even better. I'm glad that Gilbert came up with that name. And Gilbert, I love your show. Thank you so much for being back. Please cut everything
out. You're the best,
please. I really do. No, it's bad. I have children.
No, it's great. Don't do that to yourself.
Bye.
I don't think I do.
We love you. Gilbert's going to sign off. Stick around for a second.
Okay. We've been having fun with
It's pronounced Ryan Reynolds. Hello, Ryan.
No, all these years I've been, because I remember taking walks with you. And all these years, I still don't know your name.
He's the big troubled kid.
He adds a syllable. Gilbert,
he's the one that Tara says, look, there's a big kid.
Yeah.
We got to keep him off the ledge. Let's do a mitzvah. It doesn't matter. That's how much
Thank you for the night out, Beverly and Craig.
And we missed you, Gilbert. We just went across the street.
Yeah, we would.
That's right.
That's
Sally Murphy was there.
Sally, our love.
Steppenwolf Theater.
Sally, our love. Okay, Gil, let's get out of here. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Thank you all for the questions. Thank you, Beverly and Craig. We love you both.
Thanks. I'll never be with a woman again. See you later.
I love you all.
Why can't I forget you? could hate you the whole night through. Instead of having sweet dreams about you.